Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to try something a little different.
A little different, yeah.
We're going deep on a brand new fantasy novel.
Oh wow.
It's called Troll Lot of Love by DC Farmer.
Okay.
And here's the twist.
Yeah.
We're going to explore this whole world.
Right.
Get you totally hooked. But without giving away any spoilers.
Oh, so we're not going to ruin the ending.
Nope, no spoilers.
That's a fun Jared.
It's like a little sneak peek into this whole world of magic and mayhem.
All right, I like it.
Just enough to make you want to run to the bookstore.
Yeah. Just a little taste.
So a little taste. Yeah, picture this. A world.
Okay.
Where magic is like as real as the air we breathe.
Okay.
Alchemy is like a respected science.
Okay.
And there are dangerous creatures lurking in the shadows.
Sounds like a fantasy novel.
Sounds pretty standard so far.
All right.
But then we meet Kenwin Wimbush.
Kenwin Wimbush.
This young alchemist who is brilliant.
Okay.
But kind of clueless.
Ah.
And he stumbles headfirst into chaos.
So he's not prepared.
Not at all.
Right.
It's the kind of book that keeps you guessing.
Okay.
One minute you're chuckling at his, at Kenwin's social awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next, you're like on the edge of your seat.
Oh, wow.
As he's facing down some terrifying creature.
Okay, interesting.
So, speaking of Kenwin.
Yeah.
I have to share this hilarious bit.
Okay.
From the excerpts.
Okay.
He's on this quest to find this rare plant.
Okay.
Called Silver Wolfsbane.
Silver Wolfsbane.
Right. And he's traveling with these gruff, like, seasoned adventurers.
Okay.
And at one point, they offer him this drink.
Uh-huh.
Called Quaffe.
Quaffe.
And apparently it gives you bear piss.
Bear piss? What is that?
Well, Kenwin, bless his heart, starts trying to figure out how they collect bear urine for this drink.
Oh, no.
Turns out bear piss is just their slang for burps.
That makes more sense.
It's just like a little detail.
Yeah.
But it totally captures Kenwin's character.
Right.
Super intelligent. Right. But totally out of his depth in everyday situations.
Yeah, yeah. I know some people like that.
It's a great example of how the author uses humor to make these characters relatable.
Yeah.
You're rooting for him, even though,
you
know, he's in way over his head.
Oh.
And speaking of being in over his head,
that
brings us to the village of Spiv.
Spiv?
Where superstition rules.
Oh.
And danger lurks around every corner.
Okay, this sounds more serious.
Spiv is like a Grimm's fairy tale gone dark.
Oh, wow.
The villagers have all these elaborate rituals to ward off evil.
Right.
They hex their chimneys to keep out creatures called leper trolls.
Leper trolls.
Which, by the way,
are
basically nasty little trolls that spread disease.
Oh, that's not good.
And they're terrified of these things.
Yeah.
Or Capcons.
Capcons.
Which are basically like bogeymen.
Okay.
That snatch people who stay out after dark.
Oh, wow. So it's like...
That's like, if you're out after dark, you're going to get snatched.
Yeah. So there's a curfew, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But what's interesting about Spiv is not everyone buys into the fear-mongering.
Wow.
There's this young woman named Nadia,
who
secretly writes stories that challenge these superstitions.
Okay.
She dreams of a world where people aren't controlled by fear.
I like her already.
Which makes you wonder if she's going to be the one to shake things up in Spiv.
Ah.
All right. So we have...
So we have Kenwin.
Kenwin, right.
This well-meaning but clueless alchemist.
Yeah.
And Nadia.
Yeah.
This brave writer who dares to question everything.
I see where this is going.
And then to really stir the pot, we have the Mabo call.
The what?
The Mabo call.
Mabo call.
Ah, yes. This thing is like straight out of your nightmares. It's described as this terrifying blend of ape and cat.
Cape and cat.
Shrouded in mystery.
Okay.
And it sets the stage for a pivotal moment in the story.
So this is like a major turning point.
Yeah, a major turning point.
Okay.
Without giving too much away, let's just say that Kenwin has a very unfortunate encounter with this Mabo call.
With this creature.
And Nadia ends up saving him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But get this.
Yeah.
She's then accused of witchcraft.
You know.
It's a classic case of blaming the outsider.
Right.
And it makes you question who the real monsters are.
Ooh, that's deep.
In Spiv.
Ooh.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
During the Mabo call incident,
Yeah.
Kenwin gets a good look at Nadia's eyes.
Okay.
For the first time.
Right.
They're described as having cobalt blue irises.
Cobalt blue irises.
With turquoise sclerae.
Okay, wait, that's like the whites of the eyes.
Yeah.
So her eyes are basically blue and turquoise.
Yeah, basically.
That's wild.
It's incredibly striking.
Yeah?
It's like those eyes hold a secret, right?
Like, what is going on?
And it turns out
okay.
they might be connected to a much larger mystery.
Right.
The excerpts mention
a
strange phenomenon
okay.
in a place called New Temswick.
New Temswick.
Where people are experiencing similar eye changes.
So other people have these blue and turquoise eyes.
After consuming something called lava juice.
Lava juice.
It definitely raises a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, yeah.
Are these eye changes like a curse?
Right.
A side effect of magic?
Okay.
Or something else entirely?
Or something we haven't even thought of.
The author drops these little clues
mm-hmm.
that keep you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, like what is the connection?
Exactly.
All right, I'm hooked.
Right. This is great. Okay, so we have these strange eye changes happening.
Right.
In both Spiv and New Temswick.
Uh-huh.
It makes you wonder if there's like some connection.
Yeah, like what's the link?
Right.
Is it magic?
Maybe a shared source of magic.
Or maybe something darker, something more sinister.
Or something more sinister.
That's when our next set of characters come in.
Okay.
We meet Matt and Kyla.
Okay.
A demonology investigation duo.
Demonology.
Yeah, they're working in New Temswick.
So they're like investigators.
Yeah, they're like the Mulder and Scully
okay.
of this world.
Okay.
But instead of aliens,
yeah.
they're dealing with demons and all kinds of supernatural stuff.
So they're investigating these deaths.
Yeah, these bizarre deaths.
Related to the lava juice.
Right.
And their investigation leads them to...
To Nadia.
Nadia.
Remember Nadia.
The writer from Spiff.
Yeah, the one accused of witchcraft.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it turns out
yeah.
she's been taken in by this woman
okay.
named Miss Whore.
Miss Whore.
Who runs a boarding house in New Temswick.
So Nadia's living at a boarding house now.
Yeah. Okay. And let me tell you,
yeah.
Miss Whore is a character.
What do you mean?
She's got this dry wit
uh-huh.
and a heart of gold.
Okay.
She takes in strays.
Strays?
Yeah. You know, both human and otherwise.
Like animals.
Maybe. Maybe not. You'll have to read to find out.
Okay.
And her boarding house becomes like a haven.
For real?
For those who don't fit in.
So it's like a safe house for misfits.
Exactly.
So you have Nadia adjusting to life outside Spiv.
Right.
And then all these other...
All these other quirky characters.
In this boarding house.
It adds a whole other layer.
Another layer of intrigue.
Yeah, to the story.
And just when you think...
Uh-oh.
You're starting to get a handle on things.
Yeah.
The author throws another curveball.
What now?
A massive sinkhole opens up.
A sinkhole?
Yeah, in Wales.
Okay.
And Kyla, one of the demonology investigators,
mm-hmm.
feels this like irresistible pull towards it.
So she's drawn to it.
Yeah, like she has to go there.
Okay.
I'm sensing this is not your average sinkhole.
Well, this is no ordinary sinkhole.
What is it then?
Driven by some kind of premonition.
Mm-hmm.
Kyla ends up getting transported.
Transported?
Yeah.
To where?
To the sinkhole, too. Wait for it.
Okay, I'm waiting.
5th century Britain.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So we have
yeah.
witches and monsters in Spiv.
Right.
Weird eye changes.
Right.
And demon hunters in New Temswick.
Uh-huh.
And now time travel.
You got it.
To King Arthur's era.
Yeah.
My head is spinning.
Talk about expanding the scope of the story.
Right.
And it's not just some, like, random side trip.
So it's important.
It's totally important.
Okay.
Kyla encounters King Arthur.
King Arthur.
And his knights.
Battling this ancient evil.
Yeah.
Called the what?
The Nosbulb.
The Nosfleek?
The Nosbulb.
Okay. I need a quick explainer here.
Okay.
What exactly is this Nosbulb?
Think of it as like
yeah.
this primordial force of darkness.
Oh, wow.
Something that predates human history.
Okay.
Threatens to consume all of creation.
So it's bad news.
It's really bad news.
Okay.
In Welsh mythology.
Yeah.
It represents chaos and destruction.
Opposite of King Arthur.
The opposite of everything King Arthur and his knights stand for.
So this sinkhole.
Right.
It's not just a sinkhole.
It's a portal.
To another world.
To another time.
And it's unleashing an ancient evil.
Basically.
And Kyla, with her demon hunting skills.
Uh-huh.
Gets thrown right into the middle of it.
Right into the action.
It's brilliant how the author yeah.
mm-hmm.
weaves these seemingly
yeah.
disparate plot threads together.
It's like a tapestry.
You have Spiv
yeah.
with its superstitions and monsters.
Right.
New Temswick. with his weird eye changes and demonology investigations. And now 5th century Britain with King Arthur battling an ancient evil.
And it all starts to feel connected.
Yeah, like there's this bigger picture.
We're only just beginning to glimpse.
Exactly.
It's like a puzzle box.
Yeah.
And each piece you uncover reveals a new layer of mystery.
I love those kinds of stories.
But how does it all fit together?
That's the question, isn't it?
What's the connection?
Yeah, what's the connection?
Between Nadia, the lava juice,
right,
and the Nas Droog.
That's what keeps you reading.
Okay, so what about this twine theory thing?
Oh, yeah, the twine theory.
Is that like some kind of magic system?
It's one of the more unique elements of the story.
Right.
We're introduced to Mr. Porter.
Okay.
Kyla's uncle.
Kyla's uncle.
And let's just say he's a character.
Okay.
He's got this like outlandish theory.
Yeah.
He calls it twine theory.
Twine theory.
Which basically throws everything we think we know about physics.
Out the window.
Right out the window.
Okay. I'm intrigued but confused.
I know it's a lot to take in. Twine theory.
Yeah.
As in like string.
Exactly. Okay. He believes that the universe is connected by this glowing twine.
Glowing twine.
And that by manipulating this twine, you can bend reality, travel through time, even defy gravity.
Wait a minute.
Like, I know it sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy.
But somehow, in the context of the story, it works.
It works.
And it ends up playing a surprisingly significant role.
In the climax.
Yeah, in the climax.
So is Mr. Porter.
Yeah.
Just a kooky old uncle.
That's the beauty of it.
What do you mean?
You're never quite sure.
Oh, so we don't know.
We don't know for sure.
If he's right or wrong.
Right.
Okay.
He's got this whole philosophical rant about how twine is like the fabric of reality.
Okay.
Connecting everything from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy.
Wow.
He even compares it.
To what?
To the interconnectedness of human relationships.
Okay, that's deep.
It's both hilarious
and
thought-provoking.
So we have ancient evils, demon hunters, a mysterious young woman with unique eyes, an uncle who believes the universe is made of
glowing twine.
Glowing twine.
You got it.
And we're only halfway through.
We're just getting started.
This book sounds absolutely wild.
It's definitely a ride.
But the thing that really stood out to me is how amidst all the fantastical elements, it's ultimately a story.
About what?
About human connection.
I like that.
You have Kenwyn learning to open up, connect with others.
Nadia finding her voice.
Challenging the status quo.
Kyla confronting her past.
While battling ancient evils.
It's these human moments that really resonate.
Okay, so we've established Troll Lot of Love is not your average fantasy novel.
No, not at all.
It's got layers of intrigue.
Uh-huh.
Quirky characters.
Yeah.
A plot that twists and turns.
Right.
Like a Mabo call on a sugar rush.
I love that analogy.
But what about the ending?
The ending.
What can you tease us with?
Okay.
Without, you know, spoiling the fun.
Well, I can say
the
climax is everything you'd hope for.
Oh, real.
In a fantasy novel.
Oh.
A daring rescue mission.
Okay.
A confrontation with the ultimate evil.
Mm.
And some unexpected twists
that'll
leave you reeling.
Okay, but what about
Yeah.
Mr. Porter and his twine theory.
Mr. Porter
has actually come into play.
Let's just say
okay.
Mr. Porter and his twine becomes surprisingly pivotal.
Just pivotal.
In the resolution.
The resolution.
Remember those strange eye changes?
Yeah, with the blue and turquoise.
Well, they end up playing a significant role.
So it's all connected.
It's all connected.
Okay.
And the way the author connects them to the twine theory, it's both clever and satisfying.
So it's not just a random wacky theory.
It's more than that.
It actually has implications.
It has big implications.
For the whole world.
For the entire world.
Okay. I have to admit.
Yeah.
You've piqued my curiosity.
Good.
I'm dying to know how it all comes together.
I know you're going to love it.
But beyond the plot twists, fantastical elements.
Right.
What's the takeaway message?
Good takeaway.
What does Troll Lot of Love have to say about the human condition?
Well, one of the things that struck me is how it explores the idea of heroism coming from the most unexpected places.
Okay. I like that.
You have Kenwyn.
Yeah, the alchemist.
The seemingly hapless alchemist.
Rising to the occasion.
Nadia, the young writer.
challenge the deeply ingrained beliefs
of her community.
Even Mr. Porter.
Even Mr. Porter.
With his eccentric twine theory.
Plays a crucial role.
In saving the day.
It's like the message is.
Yeah.
Everyone has the potential for greatness.
Even if they don't realize it.
Exactly.
We might not be facing down.
Right.
Ancient evil.
Or manipulating the fabric of reality.
With glow and twine.
But we can all find ways.
Yeah.
To be heroic in our own lives.
And the novel also highlights.
That.
The importance of challenging the status quo.
Nice.
Spiv is a village ruled by fear and tradition.
Bah.
But Nadia's willingness to question those traditions
sparks a ripple effect
that ultimately leads to positive change.
It reminds us
of what?
That progress often starts with someone daring to think differently.
To imagine a better world.
Exactly.
And let's not forget.
What's that?
The power of storytelling.
Oh, yes.
Nadia uses her writing to escape the confines
of her village.
To envision a world free of fear.
It makes you wonder if the author, through this novel,
is doing the same thing for us as readers.
That's porting us.
To this world where magic is real.
And anything is possible.
It's definitely an escape.
But it's also a call to action.
What do you mean?
Makes you think about the stories we tell ourselves.
How those stories shape our reality.
What if,
yeah,
like Mr. Porter with his twine,
we could use our imagination
to weave a better world.
A world where love and connection triumph.
Over fear and division.
So, to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Troll Lot of Love sounds like a wild ride. Full of magic.
History.
And thought-provoking themes.
It's a book that promises to
entertain.
Engage.
And maybe even inspire us.
To tap into our own potential.
For heroism.
If you're looking for a fantasy novel, that's more than just escapism.
A book that will stay with you.
Long after you turn the last page.
Troll Lot of Love is definitely
worth adding to your reading list.
And on that note,
yeah,
we'll leave you to dive into this world for yourself.
Happy reading.
Happy reading.